Awesome. Hey, before you sit down, why don't you welcome all those who are joining us online right now. Welcome everybody online. We love you guys. Awesome. Have a seat, please. Have a seat. I tell you, it's amazing seeing how God is moving here at RCC. And we had the big baptism week a couple weeks ago. And then we've had more baptisms. We've had 40 baptisms in the last 2 weeks. 40 baptisms in the last 2 weeks. It's amazing. So we're excited about what God is doing. Also, we're excited about what God is doing, not just with our adults, but also with our kids, our RCC Kids Ministry. And our kids ministry has grown so much. We had about, you know, just like tens, like 40 kids or whatever just a couple of years ago. And now every week, we have about 200 children who show up on our campus each week. Can we give God the praise? Isn't it awesome? Amazing. So we're excited. I'm going to have Maureen kind of step in. Everybody give it for Maureen. She's going to tell us a little bit about kids ministry.
Good morning, everyone. So I'm Maureen Knotts, the children's director here, and I wanted to let you know about everything we have going on in RCC Kids. It's a lot, so you might want to take some notes. But so the first thing we have is our baby dedication. It's just going to be a sweet day. That is on May 9th. So if you have a newborn to a two-year-old, go ahead and register them online. You can check it out on our website at riverchristian.church/babydedication and register them there. And also on that day, which is Mother's Day, we will have Muffins with Mom in the back in our RCC Kids area. So at 8:45 and 10:15, you can come back there. And then after that, our next event is our Daddy-Daughter Dance, which is my favorite event of the year. And so it's just a sweet, sweet time. So that's going to be on June 13th from 5:30 to 7. And all ages are welcome. So my dad will be there. And our college daughter comes, and we have all the way down to babies. So that's going to be a really special, fun event. So, but make sure to register for that as well, because space is limited. So you want to register early. And then the day after that, June 14th, starts our Summer Olympics. We're going to have a camp. So go for the gold. And that's going to be from 5 to 8, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. You want to register your kids early for that as well. So, and if you are interested in volunteering for either of those big events, there will be a sign-up genius, or you can reach out to me or the call the office, and they can get in touch with me. So we would, the more volunteers we have, the more kids we can have come to camp. So that's it. So there's a lot going on, and thank you all so much for your support.
All right, give it up for Maureen, the kids ministry. Thank you, Maureen. Yeah, a lot going on. I tell you what, we're going to talk today a little bit, and I think how kids kind of bless our lives as we look at our daily Bible reading. Our daily Bible reading, we are in Psalm 23 right now, and if you have your Bibles, you can go and open up to Psalm 23. It's right smack dab in the middle of your Bible if you can't find it. You know, what's interesting is as you look at life and you look at all that's going on right now, one of the things I've noticed is that Americans have a hard time going to sleep. They say over 100 million, look at this, 100 million Americans every single day take something to make them either go to sleep or stay asleep. That's amazing. Over 100 million Americans every single day. I want to show you this cartoon because, let's be honest, man, it's kind of hard to relax. And this is kind of my view of relaxation sometimes. I saw this. I thought about me. It says, hey, I'm learning how to relax, doctor, but I want to relax better and faster. I want to be on the cutting edge of relaxation. And that's a lot of times, that's how I approach life. You know, like I want to do it here, I want to do it now, I want to do it fast. And this week, we pick up, I think, in a very important reading in Psalm 23. And I believe it's this. I believe Psalm 23 is an invitation from God for a moment of rest for each and every one of us. Where God is saying, hey, just kick off your heels for a moment and regain your life. It's like a scenic trail that God is taking you down. And he's saying, follow me and I will lead you to a better life. And this week, I'm gonna say this to you. God is saying, hey, let me spread out the picnic blanket. All right, and let's just sit down together at just having a feast with God. Let's just share time with God right now in this moment. Let's block out everything else, and let's just allow God to nourish us. And what I love about feasting with God is that you get to eat dessert first. All right, that's how it is with God. I grew up and we had church potlucks. And church potlucks are where the church kind of brings all this food together. And usually as a pastor, I'm always talking so much that I'm always last one to eat at the table. You know, you go and stand in the line. And I noticed this, everybody's in a line. And what I do is I go ahead and just go to the dessert bar. That's where I head, all right? While everybody else is over here, I'm like, you know what? The last will be first in the dessert bar. So I go over to the dessert bar. And that's what it is with feasting with God. You have dessert first. Business Week did a study recently to determine the number one question or number one answer people give to the question, how are you doing? How are you doing? Wait, what's the number one answer that people give when you ask how they're doing? You know what the number one answer is? I'm tired. I'm tired is number one. And number two, there's two that's tied for number one. One is I'm stressed and I'm busy. But I'm tired is number one. It's interesting to me that we live in a time where we have 1 minute rice, 1 minute workouts, 1 minute Bible studies. I'm not sure how good they'll do you, but 1 minute Bible studies. There's instant coffee, instant oatmeal, instant replay. We have all these instant things. I mean, everything's about speed. We have speed reading, right? We have speed dialing. Some of us even wear Speedos, which I think is a terrible decision. Like we have speed bumps that kind of help us slow down just a little bit more. Ted Reuter, a political science expert from DePaul University, he said this. He said, even though it may seem like instant gratification is going up, actually lasting satisfaction is going down. And I think those of us who've been around the block a few times can agree with that. We see a world where we can get things a lot more instant, but yet we see satisfaction going down. Think of how many times in the course of your life you said, you know what, let's get together, you and I and our families, let's get together, let's have a meal, let's have a coffee together, and you talk about it, but it seems like it never really happens, it never comes. Even though we know that God teaches us that our time is a gift, one of the best gifts you and I are ever given, we live in a culture that says time is money. Like you need to be getting after it all the time. So the average American, God doesn't live on our hearts, God lives on our wrists. We become slaves to time. The clock becomes our master. There's a book called Making Room for Life, and Randy Frazee says this. He says, when it comes to most Americans and their schedules, they're engaged in what he refers to as chaos management. That we're just doing chaos management. We would love to believe that our days are ordered and our days are organized, our days are structured, but the truth is majority of us, we're just kind of reacting to life. Like with all the plates that we have spinning right now in life and all the irons in our fire, we're just in the tyranny of the urgent. That's what determines our life, is the tyranny of the urgent. I mean, just the other day, I wake up to spend time with God, and all of a sudden, my cell phone is just going nuts. I mean, mercy, crisis, and I just remember myself, like, if I live in the tyranny of the urgent, I'll burn out really quick, and so I'm just going to have time with God right now. I mean, unless the house is burning down, I'm just going to right now have time with God. The tyranny urgent, though, is always beckoning us, isn't it? It's always calling us. And so I think it's interesting, when the cell phone rings, we feel like we have to answer. When the email comes and there's a beep, we feel like we have a time schedule before we respond. And I don't know who created these new norms with social etiquette, but they're governing our lives to the point that we work long hours, and those long hours end up being long days, which end up being long weeks and long months, long years, long seasons of lives, only to have our lives cut shorter and shorter. That's why one of the best, I think, Christian theologians in the last 100 years, a guy named Dallas Willard, here's what he said. He said, we must ruthlessly eliminate hurry from our lives. We must ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Few things will destroy spiritual vitality in your life more than rushing around. And I know what you're saying right now. You're like, Nathan, that's easier said than done, right? I mean, it's easier said than done. How do you do it? How do you trade busyness for balance? How do you trade rushing around for rest? Well, right in the middle of Manhattan, right in the middle of one of the busiest cities in the world, is a place that's called Central Park. Taxis are honking. People are running around. It's 143 acres of just paradise. And how many of you have been in New York City? Raise your hand if you've been in New York City, all right? You've seen, it's hard to miss Central Park. I mean, 40 million people every year go visit there. They throw their frisbees and they chase their dogs and they put out their picnic blankets. And you probably have sat, if you've been there, on one of the 9,000 park benches. An airline pilot said that when he flies over from D.C. to Boston, it's a 350-mile trip, the only piece of green that he sees is Central Park. The only piece, everything else is skyscrapers. Everything else is concrete. Everything else is steel. But the one piece of green he sees is Central Park. Listen, right in the middle of the Bible is God's Central Park. It's called Psalm 23. In the middle of the conflict, in the middle of the chaos, God just kind of parks some time and some sacred space for you and I to go to. Psalm 23 is really simple. It's God motioning you to just be with him. And God says this to you. He says, hey, set your cell phone down. Put your cell phone down. It's God daring us, God inviting us to loosen our ties and kick off our heels and settle for something that's much more comfortable. You know, the psalm, David begins with two very important words, and here's the two words, the Lord. The Lord. We want to make this psalm about us, but it's not about us. It's about him. In fact, how I know we try to make it about us is when we read it and where we read it. Where do we normally read the psalm at? Where's it read at? Funerals. Funerals. People read the psalm at funerals, which tells me we have no understanding what the meaning of the psalm is. It's really not about rest after death. It's not about death. It wasn't designed to be printed on the back of a funeral brochure. It's about rest in this life right here, right now. It's about finding home with God right here in our life. Specifically, the giver of life, the Lord, all capitals meaning Yahweh. In fact, David will spend 115 words describing those two words right there, the Lord. The name Yahweh sounds like a lot like the Hebrew word Haveh, which means to be. Now, there's a time when Moses interacts with God for the very first time at the burning bush. And he asks God, he says, who are you? And God says these words, he says, I am. And Moses leans in, is like, you want to finish that sentence? Like, what do you mean, I am? Because like we describe ourselves, we have three words like I am Nathan, I am tired, I am stressed, I am busy, right? God just says, I am. What's that mean? God is, God was, God will always be. So to understand this psalm, we have to understand that what God is inviting us into has as much to do with what he's inviting us out of. God is calling us out of this world that's so corrupt, is so polluted, is so tainted, and he's calling us into, not into a place, but into a person. He's calling us into himself. And so if God is the verb to be, then that's where we begin. That's where you want to be. And without the pressures that you feel, without the expectations, without the job description. So David will add a third word here. And it's really an important word. It's an easy word to look over. And it's the word is. Notice that David didn't say that God was or that God will be one day. God is. Today, at this very hour, in this very moment, in your presence, even though this was written 3,000 years ago, God is beckoning you right here, right now, today, right here in Fleming Island, wherever else you're watching us online, he set the table, he's pulled up a chair, and he's asking you right now, why don't you have a seat? Just have a seat. Come here, relax, take a deep breath. Let me pour some cold water in a glass for you. Just have a seat for a second. See, in fact, what often distracts us, this invitation from God, is this word stressed. Stress. See, what God is saying to you is he did not create you to be stressed, by the way. You know that, don't you? He did not create you to be stressed. In fact, if you read that word backwards, I think this is where we see what we're created for. Just flip the word around. It says the word desserts. Like, that's what we're created for, right? That's what we're created for, not stress. When was the last time you sat down and had yourself a big old bowl of ice cream and saw that as a spiritual experience? Like, that's what I'm talking about. And so in order to enjoy the Lord who is, You have to think like he thinks. So this week, I want you to encourage you. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging myself. I mean, your week, I know your week's crazy. My week's like looking like, I mean, my week's just ballistically nuts, all right? But here's the challenge, and I'm going to commit to you. I'm going to do this. It's going to be nuts. I'm going to do it, though. And here's the challenge before us. Here it is. Think this way. Holy, not hurry. Holy, not hurry. Say that with me. Holy, not hurry. Holy. God is at his core. His most undeniable characteristic is holiness. That means he's set apart. He's different from the world. He operates on a whole different system. And so here we realize that God is fully joyful. God is fully present. And he wants you to be as well. But we have to hear him calling us first. The question I have is, can you hear his call? Can you hear his call? Are you already processing right now what I'm going to do today? Here's my to-do list today. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this phone call. I'm going to do this text. Are you already processing tomorrow and next week? Right now, the Lord is beckoning you for a moment. Will you just sit down and listen for him? Through the chaos, just listen. I heard a story about an elderly man who went to the doctor because he needed a hearing aid. And he shows up, and the doctor tells him, man, this is going to improve your life. You're going to hear everything your family, your friends have to say to you. You're going to hear everything. And so he went away, got his hearing in, and operated with it for 2 months. He came back 2 months later for a check, and the doctor asked him, how's it going? And the man said, it's going phenomenally well. I can hear everything that everybody says. And he said these words. He says, but I haven't told anyone that I can hear them. I haven't told anyone that I have a hearing aid. And then he said these words, I've been sitting around listening to what my family talks about all the time. In fact, I've changed my will 4 times, he said. And you know this, but I want to remind you, God's will for you is for you to hear him. You need to hear him beckoning you. Have a seat. Just chill out for a moment and let's spend time with one another so you can find yourself again. So David put it this way. Here's the next part. What is it, church? He says these words. Read with me. The Lord is what? My. The Lord is my shepherd. I want to emphasize both those words, especially that first of those last two words, my. Martin Luther put it this way. He said, you know what? The vast majority of the Christian life is personal pronouns. I love that. The vast majority of the Christian life is personal pronouns. Notice that David didn't say the Lord is a shepherd or the Lord is the shepherd. He said the Lord is what? My shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Yahweh lets us have him. This isn't about ownership as much as belonging, that I belong to him and he belongs to me. We go together. And if the Lord is my shepherd, then that makes us his what? That makes us his what? Sheep. Now, that's not a very glamorous or flattering thing to be. Let's be honest. I mean, especially if you know anything about sheep. I mean, sheep have some, good things about them, and they have some bad things about them. You know what I'm saying? Waiting all week long to do that, by the way. Several of you sent me this video, by the way, and I want you to see. This describes sheep right here in a nutshell. Check out this video. All right, there's a sheep, and he's stuck in a trench, and you see all this, and this young man's trying to pull him out. This is like us with God. God saved me, and all of a sudden, it's like, woo, I'm free. We're frolicking around. All of a sudden, we end up right back where we started. I mean, is that not you and me? It's like, God saved me, and he does, and we like, right back. I mean, and that's what a sheep does. That's why we're compared to sheep. And I'll be honest with you, man, when I lead my life, that's what happens. And if you're honest, you'd say, yeah, I'm right there with you, Nathan. I mean, Time Magazine put it this way. They had the most 100 most influential people. And I look at that list and I think, these people are okay. But there's not one person on that list of most influential people from Time Magazine that can lead me where God can lead me. I mean, it's not that I don't like most of them. Imagine they're fine people. I have a hard time thinking, Beyonce's my shepherd. I shall not want, right? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, Michael Jordan and Justin Timberlake, Jimmy Fallon. I mean, now Jimmy Fallon would be a fun shepherd, but I'm not how far fun would get me, right? The Lord is my shepherd. And when he's not my shepherd, I'm telling you right now, things don't go very well in my life. And you would say the same thing. I get lost, and so do you. One guy wrote this and described his life if he was his own shepherd, and here's what he said. When I am my own shepherd, I stumble and I wander from mall to mall, from psychiatrist to psychiatrist, from party to party, from investment to investment, looking for it but never really finding it. I lie down next to strangers and search for intimacy only to find heartache, and I tiptoe through the valley of the shadow of death, hoping to avoid death but knowing I can't. I fear everything from terrorism to recessions, from cancer to not fitting in, to being overweight, to overlooked. Enemies, imposters, emotional thieves prepare a table before me, and I anoint my headache with extra strength Advil. My cup runneth over with Jack Daniels. Surely misery and misfortune will follow me, and I will live in doubt for the rest of my lonely life. Isn't that sad? But it's true for a lot of people. Thank God that the Lord is our shepherd. He's the one who's leading us. And when someone asks me, hey, what's God's will for my life? Where's God leading me to? I like to share with them 1 Thessalonians 5. And here's what it says. It says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is what, church? This is what? God's will. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oftentimes, they're like, okay, well, that's nice, but where's God leading me to, all right? I mean, what's his plan for my life? What's his will? I'm like, oh, that's what you meant? Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As I look through scriptures, here it is, church. As I look through scriptures and find these passages about God's will, you find the focus is always on the kind of person he's leading me to be rather than the place he's leading me to. He's always leading me to be a person after him, not always leading me to a place. And I'll be honest with you. Let me just be really transparent. I'm not the coolest, like, parent, especially in this generation, okay? There are a lot of reasons for it. One of them is this. I don't really care what my kids do for a career. I don't care. If they want to be a plumber or be the president or be a pilot or be a pastor or whatever it is, I don't personally care. I want them to, you know, have goals, but ultimately, I'm more interested in the type of person they're going to become. Right, I want them to be trustworthy. I want them to be dependable. I want them to be a person of integrity. I want them to be a person after God's own heart. I'd rather have someone, a child who's you know, barely making a living but is sold out for Jesus Christ than all of a sudden on cloud nine from the world's perspective, but they're crooked and they're lost from Jesus. I'd much rather have character rather than performance. And that's what God wants from you. And one thing I've learned about God is that he desires for us to long for him more than we long for the answers in our lives. Sometimes those answers that we're searching for can be so consuming that it seems like that's all we're wanting from God, if we're honest. All we want is the answers. And I sense in those times that God says to me, he says, Nathan, do you really love me? Or you just want the answers? Is your passion for my person or is your passion for my plans? And honestly, God would say at times, Nathan, I don't feel like your shepherd right now. Nathan, I feel more like your Google search. Our shepherd longs for us to walk with him and longs for us to walk towards him. And I'm discovering that out of an intimate relationship with God, if we're in tune with him, the answers may come. But even if they don't come, it's okay, because why? We're with him. We're with our shepherd, and I'm a lot less stressed when I'm surrendered my life to the shepherd's hands. He has a much better view of my life than I do. He really does. And our role is not so much to find God's will, but more to follow his voice. My job is not to sift through the haystack of the world trying to find that one little needle called God's plan for my life. My responsibility is to listen well and follow his steps every day. Jesus says these words in John 10. He says, my sheep listen to listen to my voice, and I know them. I know them, and they follow me, but they can listen. Sheep don't see very well, but they can hear very well. They don't really oftentimes see their shepherd, but they know his voice, and they follow him, and always, they always end up in the right places because their shepherd knows what's best for them. He will lead them down the path that leads to life, even when they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even when you feel like you're trapped on a little ravine, all right? Even when it's all dark and you can't see, doubt threatens to overwhelm you, and fear begins to grip you. Listen, his words in that moment will be a light unto your path. Our role is not to find out the plan for our life. Our role is just to follow his voice. Can you hear him speaking over you? So here comes the best part of the psalm to me. You ready for the best part? Here it is. He makes me, it says, lie down in what, church? In green pastures. Notice it didn't say just pastures. David adds the word green. It's like, why is that? What's a green pasture to a sheep? Let me put it this way. What is your favorite restaurant? What's your favorite restaurant? If you could pick any restaurant, what's your favorite restaurant? All right, besides Chick-fil-A. What is your favorite restaurant, all right? Like for me, Ruth's Chris. I've only been there for a few times in my life, and when I'm there, I get the filet mignon. I mean, because usually somebody else is paying, and all of a sudden, it's just incredible. All right, dessert, the whole shebang. But imagine this: you go to your favorite restaurant. Just say Ruth's Chris. You go to a favorite restaurant, and not you sitting at a table like this, but you actually in a Tempur-Pedic bed. All right, you're a Tempur baby, laying back, and all of a sudden they're serving you food, and you just feast right there. And you know what you get to do after that? You just take a nap right there. Nobody bothers you. You just lay there as long as you want. That's a green pasture. All right, that's what I'm talking about, right? And I don't know what your Bible says, but my Bible says He makes me lie down in green pastures. It doesn't say he persuades or that he asks me. He makes me. He loves me enough to know, you know what, Nathan? You're not running your life very well right now. And so sometimes he will make me lie down. Here's the question. What's your green pasture? What's the green pasture for you? Maybe it's time we got in a hammock. You know what a hammock is? A hammock is a worry killer, all right? You can't sit in a hammock and worry. I mean, it drives a stake right in the heart of anxiety. Maybe right now think about it. When's the last time you just fell asleep outside? You know, I don't know if you know this, but we're created to be outside. Like, we become like inside creatures. I mean, I if I had my church, it'd be outside all the time, you know? I mean, when's the last time you open up the windows and just allow the fresh air come in and just, it's so good for your soul, even when you're burned out, especially when you're behind, especially when you're busy and burdened. Maybe the most spiritual thing you can do is this. Catch up on some sleep. I had a guy tell me recently as a mentor, he says, Nathan, you need to sleep more. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is just sleep. I don't know how much Tylenol PM weighs. I just know it's really, really light. The Sullivan Institute put out a report that said that Americans consume every single day, hear me, they consume 30 tons of Tylenol PM every single day. That's 60,000 pounds of Tylenol PM every single day, just in our country. God has to remind me of the simple truth, and here it is. God never sleeps so that we can. God never sleeps so that we can. If you got a Messiah complex like I do, like you got to save everybody, sometimes you got to really hone this in and say, you know what? It's your world, God. I'm going to hand it over to you and let you have it and just take it from here, all right? I'm taking a nap. I'm getting some rest. And whatever it is that's bothering you, we need to give it to him so we can close our eyes. And David continues with this next line. He leads me beside still or quiet what? Waters. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. If you do some research on sheep, you know this about sheep, and that is they don't swim very well. In fact, what happens to their wool is it becomes weighted, and all of a sudden they can drown. And I love being close to water. Like, water's my thing. I love streams. I love lakes. I love oceans. I love rivers. And when I'm close to water, I feel close to God. But the key word, I think, in the sentence is the word quiet or still. Our world gets noisy, doesn't it? Our world is so noisy. And if you're not careful, you will drown. A sheep will drown in water. You'll drown in the details. I mean, some of you right now feel like you're drowning. You feel like you can just barely hold your head up. I mean, you feel like you're not even close to the surface. You feel like you're so just pushed down by the details, from work to marriage to parenting to just guarding your heart. And here it is. I need still time. You need downtime just to hear, to remember what it is and what is not important in life. One of the best tools that God's given me for this is my own children. Sometimes after dinner, we have dinner together. And after dinner, what happens is the kids will go in and clean the kitchen. I hear them laughing. I hear them, you know, teasing one another. Sometimes I'll catch my youngest son, River, sitting in my oldest son's lap, Rylan, and they're just together, just being together. I found this photo on Facebook that just popped up on my Facebook from 7 years ago when River saw me at a park, and he just came up and he just went into me. Like he just wanted to be with me. And when I see moments like that, now I see kids running through the grass without shoes on. You know what that is, when kids run through the yard without shoes on? I mean, when's the last time you ran through the lawn without shoes on? Right? Probably a couple of decades or longer ago, right? Man, what is that about? It's freeing. And kids will show us so much about God. It's great to be free. And one thing I love about spending time with kids is they keep us young. I don't have to tell you this. You already know it. If you allow this world to get to you, if you allow this world to get to you, and some of you have, you age quickly. And it makes you feel older than you really are. And it'll suck the life out of you. And when I read Psalm 23, you know what I hear? I hear kids laughing. I hear kids playing. I hear God say over me, join them. I hear Jesus say, be like them. So I have a simple question for you today, and here it is. What's important to you? What's important to you? What do you want to devote your time to? What's really important? And if I had to guess, it'd be three things: relationships, relationships, relationships. It'd be God, it'd be family, it'd be friends, people you care about. And so when I get away to a place where I can touch base with God, I'm reminded of who I need to invest in, and then those people who manipulate, those people who gossip, those people who suck the life out of me. And that's not who you need to spend time with. Not at all. I believe Psalm 23, David reminds us who we need to spend time with. He reminds us that God has something he wants to do with each one of us. He says this. It says that God refreshes my soul. So you need to hear me. You're more than a collection of nerve endings. You are deeply spiritual. You have a soul. You are profoundly eternal. And the Lord, if you're in the rush, the world won't let you know that. But if you go into God, he'll reveal that in you. I think about Matthew 11, the Message translation says this, and here's what it says. I think it connects with Psalm 23. It says this: are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy, I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely, you'll learn to live lightly. Jesus is saying, I am the good shepherd. I will lead you to green pastures. I will lead you to quiet waters. There was a pastor who had a lady write him a letter. And you need to know, but before this letter was written, a couple years before, her daughter died suddenly. And she wrote a letter to him, and one line struck him just at his core about how she was doing. And she said this: most days, I'm just pretending to live. And this world will do that to you, where all of a sudden you're not really living, you're just pretending to live. And death will do that. And you need to know, God did not create death. It's the antithesis of the life giver. But things like death and stress Well, make it where you just pretend to live, not really live, you just pretend to live. But one of the ways that God restores our soul is when he uses us to be a blessing to others. There's one of our own here named Ken Wilson. And Ken is part of the Father's Heart Ministry, which is based right here on our campus. It serves out over 1,000 meals every single month to the needy right here in Clay County. And I want you to watch Ken and listen to what he says, how his soul's restored as he seeks to restore other people's souls to the Father's Heart Ministry. Check this video out.
Hey, what's happening? Hey, I got to share this amazing story. This is pretty awesome. So we've got this ministry at church called A Father's Heart, where we go out and serve underprivileged individuals and families and bring them groceries. And I got to tell you, most of the time I'd sit on the sidelines and wouldn't get involved. And I basically said, you know what, this is out of my comfort zone. I'm going to go ahead and do it. So I did it. And pretty cool story here. Listen to this one. So I went to this family. I have six families in all that I deliver to. We deliver to about 1,000 families in a month. And I kept dropping off groceries and knocking on the door for like the last 3 months with this one family. And I would always see them like after I'd pull out. They'd open up the door, sneak out, grab the groceries. And about the fourth month, they actually answered the door. And I started to create a relationship with this family and pray with them as well while I deliver them groceries. And a couple more months into it, their little 10-year-old son Elijah came downstairs. And it was so cute because when I delivered the groceries, he gave me a quarter. And again, this family just doesn't have anything, okay? And, you know, it touched me because he goes, "This is a tip for you. And it's a blessed coin. And, you know, it just means so much to my family and me for you to drop off groceries." And I remember him also saying, "You know what? You're doing good, Mr. Ken. You're delivering groceries and helping us out, and you're delivering hope. You spread hope." And it made me feel so good that, you know, when I went into the car to take off, I mean, I just basically just sat there and cried, and it just touched me so much. And I know that that was God actually working through me. And now I've developed this incredible relationship with this family, who've adopted a couple kids in the process. And we spent about a half hour talking and sharing and praying and caring and being compassionate with one another. But it just goes to show you just never know what you're going to get into if you get off the bench, get in the game, and try something new to serve others, be kind to others, and compassionate and loving, because that's what we're here for. So that's a story I wanted to share with you, so enjoy the rest of your day.
Can we give God the praise for just that life being changed, the Father's Heart Ministry? You know, and Ken's sitting there going, you know what, I want to get in the game. And so his soul's being restored as he restores a family soul. And my challenge to you is this: do you know anyone, as Ken said, do you know anyone needs hope right now? You know anyone right now, anybody come to mind that needs encouragement? I want to encourage you right now, even though I'm preaching or even while the worship's getting ready to happen, why don't you send a text and just say, you know what, I love you. You know what, I'm going to pray for you. Let me know what I can be praying about. I want you to know that when you came in my life, man, God blessed me tremendously because of you. Who is it you need to send that text to? Who is it right now that you need to restore their soul? Because here's what I think. I think God wants us to be in the restoring the soul business. That's what God wants for you and for me. Not only of our souls being restored, just like Ken's, but also because of that, also we start restoring the souls of other people around us, and then it just continues to go on, and he can use you to be breathing life into people's lives. He can do that, and your soul will be restored as you do that. I'm reminded of a doctor who decided to have the chairs in his waiting room to be reupholstered. He's a cardiologist, a heart doctor. And the guy came in and reupholstered the chairs. And he says, "Hey, I found something interesting, doc, with your chairs in your office." He said these words. He says, "None of the backs of the chairs were worn out. The backs were fine." It seems that everybody in your office is leaning forward. The only part of the chairs that were worn out were the edges. See, God is inviting you to do the opposite. He's inviting you to sit back. He's inviting you to enjoy this incredibly beautiful place that he has placed you and me in for just a short period of time. And maybe today, the most spiritual thing you can do is just go outside. It's a beautiful day. Go outside and just commune with God. Just be with him. Allow him to speak to you. What I'm saying is not just spending time in creation. I'm asking you to spend time with the creator of creation. Let him make you lie down today. Let him lead you and hear me. Give him permission to restore your soul. Give him permission. God, restore my soul. So in this moment, here's what I want to do. I want to pray over you. But before we go on, I just want us to spend just a couple moments of quietness. And I'm going to ask you, what's God telling you right now? Ask God, God, what are you telling me right now? Let's just listen to God, and then I'll pick up and pray. Let's go to God in prayer right now. Ask him, what do you have to tell me today, God? Father, thank you for reminding us that we were created for the Garden of Eden. Thank you for preparing a garden in heaven for us to live forever. And Father, we need fresh air, we need sleep, and so I pray that you bless us with rest. Lord, lead us to find a rhythm with the rest in the margins of, in our schedules, and I pray that we will spend time with people that refresh us, and Lord, that we will refresh them. And I pray this week that we're just not reacting to the tyranny of the urgent. Father, protect this group right here in this room, but also those online. Lord, help us to follow the rhythms of grace, the rhythms of faith, and not just follow the chaos of this world. Father, thank you for David and what he is calling us into. What a beautiful opportunity it is. Thank you for the beauty of this world, the beauty of this weather. Lord, it doesn't get much better than this. Help us to take advantage of moments with you by sitting down and just asking you, God, what do you want to tell me today? And may we hear your voice and follow after you and you alone. Lord, thank you for providing rest in this restless world. And we pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. The whole church said, amen. Will you take a stand right now with me? Just please stand up. And I'm going to encourage you to, if you have any prayers at all, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ like so many have, you can take the Connect card and take it to your left or take it to your right. You guys online can fill out the request prayer button. We'd be honored to pray for you. Wherever it is, we're here for you. Won't you come and make that move? If you have something to pray about, won't you take that stand, make that move right now, go to the cross. We'd be honored to pray for you. Let's do it right now as we worship the one and only one who can give us rest as we realize our life is in nothing else except being a child of God. Let's find our identity in that.